you remember how this thing works?
Oh, yeah, I gotta talk into it.
You gotta push the buttons, like...
Yeah.
I barely remember. It's like I'm holding a piece of alien technology that was recovered from a crashed spaceship.
Yeah, called our basement.
Yeah. So, how are you doing?
What's happening? I'm all right.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. I'm all right.
We are partway through a long series of podcasts on the pandemic.
Long-ass series.
And we got very far derailed.
Right? No, I'm kidding.
Which is not...
Not surprising for us, but still. This is actually a bit of a large derailing even for us.
Yeah.
Like, what, 2 months now? 3 months?
I don't even know, but...
Well, probably only 2 months, but
a couple months, but haven't finished a... Haven't had a recording session or produced another episode for a long time, and we had sort of an arc in mind. We had a plan in mind.
We did.
And this is a break from that.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out, do we try to push through and continue with the plan when all available evidence suggests that we won't be able to finish it?
Good question.
Or do we just do, like, whatever we can, whenever we can?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I know you got to start the whole thing with a piece you'd written. I had a written piece, too. I was hoping to finish with that, or at least contribute my perspective at some point. So I'm kind of waiting for that.
We'd still like to do that.
But I don't know.
Well, why don't we just give a status update kind of thing now?
Of
us, what's happening here, and the pandemic in general.
Okay, we only have like 30 minutes, man.
Yeah, we're out for a walk, and I've got limited memory space on this recorder and limited time until I have to be back at my desk. But you know what? It'll force us to be...
concise?
Yeah, that's
I
not
keep saying
happening.
That. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
You're going to cut us off mid-sentence.
Oh, I'm watching the time.
Okay.
We have almost 40 minutes.
Yeah. All right.
Where do you see things relative to where they were when we last spoke?
Mm-hmm.
On the, as far as the progress of the pandemic and the response to it.
Okay. The pandemic is proceeding at pace, and I don't see that... Nothing's changed in my prognosis or what I've seen, what I expected from or with the pandemic. Our response is deteriorating.
How so?
Oh, it's just dissolving into, people die. Life goes on.
So, my understanding is that...
Kids die. Happens.
Well, so we just approved vaccines for younger kids. People can start scheduling their younger children to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And, of course, vaccines for adults have been available for a while now, and now we have boosters available.
For some.
And, Americans who
it's recommended for them,
yeah.
But I think anybody who wants a booster can go get one.
Probably. So, my sort of interpretation of all this is that the vaccines are helping in the sense that the individual risk to vaccinated people and their risk of severe outcomes or death from infection
is reduced.
It has been that overall picture, like if you took like a collective risk number,
mm-hmm.
that has been pretty dramatically reduced in the vaccinated.
Except for one thing. If you were at high risk to begin with, you are still at high risk within that group. the people who are sick and dying that are vaccinated are the same people who would be sick and dying from the disease. So overall risk is reduced, but the people at highest risk are still at highest risk amongst the group of vaccinated people.
So what accounts for that? That they don't, even with vaccination, they don't mount a good immune response, or what?
I think it's reasonable to conclude that for people at higher risk, I think it's reasonable to conclude that of all the people of highest risk who were vaccinated, fewer of them have been hospitalized and died.
Yes.
I think that's a reasonable conclusion. I think the numbers bear that out.
Okay. But relative to the whole group?
Relative to the whole group. They're still at highest risk. And we can have a conversation about how much their risk has been reduced.
Okay. So what you're saying is probably it's been reduced some, but if you look at the cohort of vaccinated individuals
as a group,
the people who were high risk remain at elevated risk, so there's still like a curve.
Right.
Okay. So it hasn't like flattened everyone's risk.
No.
Equally.
And it's very dangerous to think that it has.
Yeah. And then, of course, we've long been pointing out that the risk for children
always very small,
and the risk for people who either can't get vaxxed for technical reasons involving their cancer treatment or autoimmune disorders or whatnot,
right?
Remains high.
Yep.
So maybe we push down the risk.
And in fact, higher. And in fact, higher for children than we've seen in the past, while still
with
remaining
Delta.
Small. Yes.
Yeah.
While still remaining small, it is higher than it was.
Right.
And 3 children die a day since September.
Right.
In the United States. From COVID.
And people basically are treating this as over.
Because, as a success.
Because of the vaccines.
As a success.
But yet the caseloads now, say, 3 times?
That was my last notation. And that
time
was,
you researched it?
Right. And I haven't looked at that specific number in about 2 weeks, so it's probably higher. But it's 3 times what it was last year at the end of October.
Yeah.
And deaths are like twice as high.
Michigan was... I was just a little bit, not stunned, but a little bit
startled
to see how high the death rate and the case rate still
are in
Michigan.
The CDC itself considers the state of Michigan to be high risk.
Right.
To be at high risk of transmission.
They are now back up there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we see these declines that happen. Like day to day, typically we see a decline over given week by week, but then we keep seeing these resets, regressions,
big regressions, honestly.
Yeah, these surges happening
right.
Again, and the biggest ones are. Mostly people denying it, but they're mostly connected to schools.
Yep.
To school reopening.
School reopening.
And
because
there
have
been...
This is back up to a really small piece of information about human virology.
Right.
Most human viruses reside in 3 to 7-year-olds, almost all of them.
In the population.
Right. It's just constantly
of
circulating.
Children. It's the natural reservoir for most human viruses.
Right. So when you send them back to school to intermix, then they bring it back out to the rest of the population.
Yeah.
All the people they're connected to,
and they're
parents,
also,
relatives, etc.
And it's almost impossible to ask young children just, please...
mask up and wash your hands.
And social distance.
I don't know, have you met a 3-year-old?
Don't lick any doorknobs.
Don't lick your friends either, okay?
You can lick your nose and you can lick your friends. But don't lick your friend's noses. And
yeah.
Kids do just that kind of disgusting
thing.
Lick doorknobs or pick up things off the floor or touch
grab
things
random,
and grab
all
things.
Kinds of random stuff. Lick it, taste it, chew it.
And that can't just be like...
And we've got to understand that's actually normal, toddler.
It's absolutely normal. And you can't just... Well, the parents should simply instruct the children
instruct
not
the
to
children.
Do that.
Enforce those rules. Okay.
So... there are hundreds. Last I looked, it was 400 or 500 outbreaks at Michigan schools.
Yep.
And again, the numbers keep sort of declining and then surging, declining and then surging.
Yep.
We suspect that there will again be big surges over the holidays. And because so many people have basically put all their faith in the vaccines and given up
on any other protective measures at all,
any other protective measures, that I am suspecting that the like post-Thanksgiving and post-Christmas death surges
are going to be terrible.
Are going to be much worse than last year. So it's not, it's November. People don't really know this. It's like a...
It's not being reported.
It's like a state secret.
Right.
But more people died of COVID in 2021 than in all of 2020 when there were these, you know, huge spikes.
Huge
and like
spikes. Right.
New York City went on red alert. And
just sirens every day.
Sirens round the clock.
Yeah.
People dying in their
homes.
Homes
unattended. Yeah. And it's far worse now. But we're all partying like it's 1999.
So I want to talk a little bit about workplaces without getting into too much specifics of my workplaces. But
yeah.
I think that most workplaces in Michigan lifted their mandates.
Yeah! Some of them, vaxxed? Fuck that!
Some of them a few months after the CDC...
yeah.
Guidelines changed.
Yeah.
Some of them probably sooner.
Some of them immediately.
Some of them immediately. And basically people stopped masking and distancing and started hanging out as normal. And I know that in my workplace, 90% of everyone is not masking. And mm-hmm. they're traveling. And they're getting together
socially
for work activities.
Mm-hmm.
And like my office had an in-person meet and greet with some bigwigs. And my team had a team building dinner at a restaurant.
Out of state.
Which I've not attended any of these things. My new team in California got together for, I think they were doing bowling.
Yeah.
Bowling and dinner out. So I mean, this is like everywhere we look, people are like, "Oh, I got vaccinated." So.
Well, and also the people. When you tell about people dying, the vaccinated people are dying, children are dying. Like, oh, that's so sad. Thank goodness everyone's vaxxed.
Right. And when liberals, in my experience, when they hear about someone very sick from COVID or dying from COVID...
First shit they want to ask, are they vaccinated?
They immediately jump to...
See, that's why they're sick.
The explanation that, well, those... They were stupid. They deserve it. They didn't get vaxxed. We don't know that. And in many cases now, it's not true.
It's not true. But we don't know that.
Because
nor do we have a right to know.
Sure, I'm not trying to dig into any HIPAA-protected patient information.
Thank you. No.
But this is it's not good.
It's not good.
And what?
Because the narrative is, well, there's a vaccine. If people want to die, that's up to them.
And
the fact is, the thing that I didn't mention
like
a few minutes ago.
The PMC personal responsibility mantra.
But no, the thing I didn't mention a few minutes ago is that collectively, NPIs are more effective than the current vaccine is. The current vaccines available in the U.S. are less effective than NPIs taken collectively.
NPIs, if you haven't been following our series all along, are non-pharmaceutical interventions. And they range from slightly challenging to extremely easy. They include hand washing,
right. Masking,
distancing,
not gathering groups, meeting outside, etc. Ventilation,
Right.
And so on, right.
Interventions of any type that don't involve
a pharmaceutical product.
Yeah. And this is how viruses are traditionally defeated,
right,
in concert with vaccines.
Right.
Which are a valuable tool.
But not the solution.
But people don't get that all of these vaccines for COVID are not terminating.
Yeah, they don't terminate the disease
in the way that many of the other traditional vaccines that we're accustomed to are.
The vaccines that we think of as being
miracles,
like say polio or smallpox, for example.
Right.
Or diphtheria, for example.
Right.
And those, and diphtheria is absolutely deadly to children under 5.
Right.
A lot of times you see families, they lost many children historically. You'll see a cemetery, and they've got 5 children buried together, all under 5.
Yeah.
It was diphtheria.
They all went down together.
And it was, or a whole community lost everyone under 5 in one winter.
Yeah.
Because of diphtheria. Right. We have an extremely effective vaccine. It terminates the virus. And actually, at this point, it's probably not circulating in the United States.
Yeah.
But that said, we don't know that it's not circulating, and I wouldn't skip a diphtheria vaccine.
No.
For my children.
I wouldn't either.
Because it is absolutely deadly to children under 5. Now, mind you, before we had a vaccine, communities that embraced what we now describe as NPIs fared much better. They saved a lot of 5-year-olds doing that.
Yeah.
A lot of 5 and unders.
So, this is... The parts about this that worry me so much are the tribal attitudes.
Yeah, it's absolutely dangerous. I mean, it's deadly.
Because...
Utterly deadly.
You can't... You know, if someone's...
Because you can't have a rational fucking conversation.
If someone is just uninformed or just confused...
Oh, yeah.
You may be able to inform or sway that person.
Inform them or disambiguate. You know?
But if their identity is wrapped up in their faith in...
Really, if their faith and identity is on the line, they're ready to fight.
And you're not going to... make any progress.
You're not going to win.
And almost always when you're debating or arguing or insulting or whatever you're doing, you're just hardening their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And reinforcing their desire to make you even further part of their out-group. And
right.
I'm not really into both siderism when it comes to let me finish.
Okay, go ahead.
But the right, the conservative, the Republican Party has really embraced pushing these like conspiracy narratives to energize their base, which is what they do.
That's how they do it.
Right. And they really have leaned into that.
Yeah.
And along with things like, you know, other conspiracy theories like Trump lost the election.
Yeah.
You know.
That's not the conspiracy. The conspiracy is that, you know, it was stolen from him.
Well, right. But, oh, right, exactly.
Yeah,
the theory is that he won the election, but...
That was stolen from him.
But it was stolen from him, right. And that is still on the right-wing media. That's still pushed every day.
Still talking about it, still.
And...
Still deep in it.
Okay, so that's the, you know, conservative side, allegedly.
Yeah.
And then...
The alleged liberal side.
On the liberal side, you've got all these sort of PMC people, professional managerial class people, including...
Team Science.
Including... Team Science and people who identify as liberals and Democrats, not leftists, and many who are in the professions of epidemiology and
ought to be fucking ashamed.
And health in one form or another.
Yeah.
Who are basically promoting this idea that the pandemic is done, is over. We need to accept that this illness is now endemic and we have to stop
trying
to drag down our economy.
Yeah, that's just childish and selfish.
Right, so protecting our...
most vulnerable.
And what I'm saying, like, no, I don't want to attend this in-person event. I don't want to meet all these guests from out of town. I don't want to fly to California on an airplane.
Thanks.
I don't want to get in cars with people or planes with people.
Thanks.
Who are not taking precautions.
Of any kind to speak of.
Of any kind. And will actually get in your face if they're irritated by your precautions.
Yeah, come at
Then I'm, you know, unreasonable. Then I'm doing this to protect mostly, specifically, our daughter.
Yep.
Who's at definitely elevated risk.
A child at elevated risk.
Right. Who can't, even with the revised guidelines, can't get vaccinated yet. And who the vaccine is less likely to fully protect.
Right.
Right. But that's everyone.
That's a lot of people.
You've got to assume that...
that's everyone.
A lot of people...
have someone at home they need to keep safe.
Yeah. Or when they're... you know, if they get a breakthrough, they'll wind up with long COVID or whatever.
Or some awful shit. Right.
Be unable to...
or they're healthy and vital young children may end up with MISC.
Right. So, there's so much...
I mean, MSI. Multisystem inflammatory.
Yeah. There's so many reasons not to throw in the towel and say, you know what, it's just endemic now. If you're wearing a mask now, you're an idiot. You're in the Stone Age. You're not following.
What's wrong with you?
What they really say is you're not following the science.
We don't need masks.
And the reason no one trusts CDC is
because... and this is why no one trusts the CDC.
It's because the 6-foot number was pulled out of someone's ass at the direction of the administration.
Right.
The lifting of the mandates was pulled out of someone's ass at the direction of the administration. It did not... they were following a script, they were following a fantasy about the actual results of the vaccine in the population, not what was really happening.
Some fantasy script that didn't include huge swaths of data.
Right.
Now, here's the other piece, right?
And they stopped collecting data.
They stopped collecting data, right? So, the other piece of that is, when Team Science goes on about the science and tells us to get vaxxed and don't worry about anything else, they lose their credibility.
Right.
And then they answer, why don't people trust the science? Because you lost all your credibility.
Right.
That's why people don't trust the science.
So I follow a whole cadre of epidemiologists on Twitter. And there are some there who are great and say, you know what, we still need to embrace the precautionary principle. We need...
because we don't know yet.
We need air filtration. We need, you know, we need to follow these basic...
we can't get any studies on air filtration. Not a single fucking one.
So why don't you take a couple minutes and talk about this air filtration thing you are often talking about with me?
Oh, so the Corsi Rosenthal air filter. $100. And basically it's 4 air filters from Home Depot, a box fan,
some
duct tape, piece of cardboard. You duct tape it together into a cube and run it when you have people inside. Now, at the beginning of the pandemic, I was advocating that people wear masks before we knew anything.
Right.
And people, a lot of people came to shout me down.
Right.
A lot of people came to shout me down. Team Science came to shout me down.
Well, Fauci gave people the opposite advice. What he really was doing was trying to keep there from being a run-on N95s.
Mask, right. Didn't work.
But he didn't say that, so
didn't
he
say
was
that.
Lying.
He was lying. And really, it would have been okay to say, listen, Americans, we need you to step up. Make your own masks and leave the N95s to the professionals. We can do this together. That could have been very easy.
Yeah.
But instead, he cost us, when I mean us, I mean actual epidemiologists, vital credibility.
Yes.
It was just lost.
He has a long career of doing this kind of
and
lying, by the way.
And once it's gone, you can't buy it back. There's no buying it back.
It's really more of a political creature than a science creature.
That said, so, and the reason I was advocating folks to just mask up, actually it was late February, beginning March, I was telling folks on Instagram and other places, mask up. I'm wearing a mask in public going forward. And I was saying that because it just makes sense. I don't have any, at the time I had zero data except for what we knew about SARS. I had zero information to suggest that this was XYZ effective. All I knew was that there's a viral disease circulating.
It's a viral vector.
With a viral vector, a respiratory vector.
It took 6 months before they even acknowledged it was there, an airborne virus.
Precisely. But let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Sorry.
But the, if there's a respiratory viral disease circulating, a mask largely will only help you and cannot harm you.
Right.
Okay. So based on that sort of conjecture of my own, I advocated mask wearing. A lot of team science came for me. Now, we have no data.
They've since come back and apologized, of course, for being premature.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But now, we have no data to speak of. We have no efficacy rates to speak of. Nothing.
On what?
The Corsi-Rosenthal air filter.
On the air filtration.
Yes. But we know it does a lot of air exchanges. We know it catches particles smaller than the COVID-19 virus. Based on that conjecture, that information alone, I don't think you should be indoors with anyone without a Corsi-Rosenthal air filter. I think it's a bad call. I think if you're going to gather with people indoors...
outside your pod or what?
Yeah, if you're going to gather with people indoors, from outside your pod, build one and use one. I think it helps. I have no evidence to that effect. And if you don't want to meet with people outside your pod indoors, don't. Because I have no evidence that this will protect you.
Right.
But
right.
But if you want to, you want to meet with people, please, please, for the sake of my child, don't pass it on to her and use this air filter.
Consider this. Consider
really?
Doing this.
And honestly, even if you don't give a shit about yourself, you don't
you
give a
shit. If you insist on meeting indoors,
insist on meeting indoors
outside your park.
You don't care about yourself, please, do it for disabled children. Do it for disabled children under 5, whom we have no idea when their vax is coming. Right? So, Team Science, listen up. Talking to you. Please, do what you can to keep children safe. It's the responsible and moral thing to do.
And, again, the vaccine is only a part of that picture.
Only part of that picture.
Yeah.
So mask up. Maybe don't meet inside. Etc. I know it's cold. I'm sorry. Put a coat on.
Well, we're actually out walking and we're sweating on a November day because it's... You know, climate change has its effects. So, this is something that, like you keep saying, there's no testing. Well,
no.
Why? There's no. It's because
there's
not
no financial
incentive to test these low-cost interventions, and like the there's no product to sell. There's things you can make out of cheap and widely available products.
Right.
But there's no product to sell on the market yet that...
And
so there's no one...
And there's no
making,
gatekeeped product.
Yeah, there's no regulatory agency
right.
For this kind of thing. For like ad hoc home air filters. And people were, the CDC was actually talking about air exchanges in schools and you know all that, but there was, let's not pretend there was ever any money behind that.
Nope.
So most schools haven't
any evidence to conclude its efficacy.
Most schools haven't done jack shit when it comes to improving their
air quality. They're washing the desks.
They're still worried about
Which, you know, again,
it's not, there's not no reason for that,
but it's not a COVID precaution.
It maybe is helping with influenza.
Probably.
We've concluded that casual surface transmission is so rare as to be almost negligible with COVID-19. It's not impossible, but it's really rare.
And specifically, this speaks to the airborne versus not thing.
Right.
And we were stuck on there being fomites, which are particles.
Fomites, yeah.
That survive on surfaces. We were measuring how long they lasted and all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah. How long it lasts on copper versus plastic versus paper versus.
Right.
You know.
Which is incidentally the traditional historical reason brass doorknobs are a sign of wealth. Wealthy people always use brass to protect them from disease.
Because the these particles die out quickly
on
metal surfaces.
Not metal, brass.
Huh, interesting.
Yes, but that said, how shall I say? There's no money in it. Whereas, meanwhile, a lot was politically and financially at stake for discrediting any use of that thing that 45 was talking about. Oh, the Z-Pack and zinc vitamin D combo.
Yeah.
We had a study on that in a matter of weeks after it became a topic of political discussion.
Right.
Weeks later, we had an asshole revving up his engine. Okay. But within weeks, we had a study debunking, how shall I say, the null set of that theory.
Yeah.
And now every time anyone talks about it or mentions it or goes back to it or refers back to it, I see Team Science posting that study, which came out quickly.
One study.
Yes. So, but it was the null set. It didn't actually talk about the specifics about how this was used to treat things. They tested on people on ventilators. And
right.
The whole idea is that you use it before you go to the hospital.
Right.
So there's actually been no study of that.
Right.
But there was immediately a study done to discredit it as a possible treatment of any kind.
Right. Well, we're still, you know, Grace and I are still taking vitamin C and vitamin D and zinc lozenges.
Oh, and I do the whole anti-vaxxer thing. I have a nasal rinse with iodine.
Yeah, but we do that after a likely exposure.
A likely exposure, right.
Yeah, so.
So, you know.
This is not, and these are low effort. Low cost.
Low harm, low cost.
Low harm interventions that might nip an infection in the bud.
Yeah, so.
And the thing is, they're not only relevant to COVID.
They're relevant to all kinds of respiratory and viral infections.
Yeah, so. Again, not going to tell you what to do. We can't cite a specific study that says taking 4 grams of vitamin C a day will save you from
COVID.
But,
because there is no such study.
But, you know.
And I wouldn't, I wouldn't suggest that if you are COVID cautious, that you should now throw caution to the wind and use these measures to protect yourself. I don't have evidence.
And not mask, whatever. Not distance, or just like, go ahead, go out to your bowling nights and bars and movies and whatnot.
Hey, don't worry about it. You got vitamin C. Don't worry about it.
Use vitamin C. Any more than we'd say you should just, hey, don't worry about any of that. Just take ivermectin prophylactically.
Which is not anything that I'm trying to say.
Right.
I'm just saying that I personally use that and it's helped support my immune health for decades. It's fine. That's all I'm getting at.
Yes.
That said, if you are going to go out and you are going to circulate, please consider these methods because, you know, you're not doing the basic things that we have evidence prevents transmission.
Right.
Oh, and that's the last piece about Team Science here. The thing that Team Science is conveniently shifting the dialogue away from is they're shifting the conversation to, well, what's the number of hospitalizations? How many deaths? That's the conversation they want to have.
Right.
The conversation they need to have is how many transmissions.
Uh-huh.
Because every transmission is an opportunity for a variant.
For a mutation.
Every single one. And so, our goal needs to be reduced transmissions almost at all costs, because we can be back at square one
right.
with one mutation.
Right. And we're following news about, I'm following news personally
yep.
about two post-Delta variants.
Variants.
Delta subvariants, whatever,
right.
that
may evade vaccines altogether.
They look quite dangerous. They're not here yet. There's
nope.
no.
We don't reckon of them. Yet.
Don't run around and panic about these variants
yeah, no,
yet.
Honestly, you don't need to panic about any of this.
But they are concerning, and this is just more data points to tell me that, you know what, the people who are back to normal now, they're.
Psychopaths.
But
go on, sorry.
They're following bad advice because
the bad advice benefits the people in power.
It, benefits people in power, and it allows them to do pretty much what they
want
to
do,
would like to do, which is pretend that, you know, things are all better. We're talking about another point I want to make is the, it's kind of an aphorism almost, but like, given how global we are, this is not over here until it's over everywhere. And our official death count is under a million, unofficial probably twice that.
Yeah, approaching 2 million.
Globally, again, probably poorly tracked in many countries.
Mm-hmm.
We're, last figure I saw was 6 million.
Yep.
And this risk doesn't really go away in a local place when people are flying in and out of the country all the time.
All the damn time.
It doesn't.
Right.
So, anyway, we have a few minutes left.
Sure.
Any other... So, this is like an update rant.
Yeah. Whatever you can do, please try to reduce transmissions. In your own personal life, reduce transmission as much as you can.
And if that means your local theater goes out of business because...
I'm sorry. There's probably a way to adapt and keep them alive.
Yeah.
It doesn't involve encouraging transmissions.
Right.
But I can't actually speak to every specific situation or locality.
Right.
But you can. So, you can brainstorm a way to keep them in business.
Right. So, you know, I'm really frustrated and sad that I didn't go see Dune in the theater, because if ever movies needed to be seen on a big screen.
Oh, that was one.
Like Lawrence of Arabia in 70mm and Villeneuve's Dune.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Big wide screen. And I didn't get to do that. And I won't do that. And like, well, don't you want to keep theaters alive? Sure.
Yeah, do.
Stage a private screening for me.
There you go. I'll pay.
An empty theater.
I'll pay.
I won't pay.
No, you won't pay.
Very,
on,
very
man.
Expensive.
Sure.
But you get what I'm saying. It's like, I can't personally put everyone around me at risk
to keep a theater
open. To do, yeah. Like, the restaurants that adapted, we're still supporting as best we can with curbside
takeout. And
frankly,
our personal fave had a huge indoor seating space.
Yes.
At no point in the last 2 years have they used that seating space more than 25%.
Right.
And so when the restrictions were lifted and so on, they seated 25%. 25% capacity.
And they've been following the local data. The
local data. And when there surges, they close the dining room.
Right. And so they are doing a booming business.
Yep.
They're still open. They're
still
doing
open.
a booming business in curbside takeout.
Yes.
You drive up.
Catering, drive up,
They give you a big box of takeout containers. I hate to be throwing away that many takeout containers, but you know.
But yeah, we're trying to keep them in business, so.
Yeah. So that's, we had sushi for our anniversary dinner.
Yep.
Takeout. Like, picked up outside the restaurant.
Yep.
I'd love to be eating in restaurants again. I'm not doing it. It's one of my favorite things. I'm not doing it. It's been a long time. Almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And... not doing it. I love movie theaters. I love movies. We're watching them at home.
Yeah.
I don't love flying, but, you know, I'd be more willing to fly to California or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
We're attending a funeral.
Virtually.
Coming up via Zoom.
Yeah.
And that's not, again, I would love to have gone to see my relatives
to be there
in person. But we're not ready. We don't feel safe.
And it's not, when we say we don't mean us. We mean the United States is not ready.
Right. Right. Okay, I think we're going to wind up this little conversation. I'm going to see if I can get this one out as like an interlude or something. And do what we can to continue with this series. And then I got to get back to my... desk.
Wake up, it's time to make money.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Take care.